very well, that we are increasing in the light of the knowledge of thyself by your Spirit according to the Word, and we're grateful for that. We believe, Lord, that shall increase more and more to that perfect day. Help us, Lord, to just stand steady in the present truth and to not just acknowledge the same, but to be full of the Holy Ghost and live a life that is commensurate with that same filling. Help us to be a praise and honor to thy name, Lord, for we desire that greatly. Help us to be obedient, Lord, to be actually subservient to your bond slaves, prisoners to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, in honor to prefer each other and always bear and to forbear until we come to that place, Lord, where we'll be walking more and more in the light and then suddenly, Lord, getting out of here. So bless us together this morning, Lord, that your name might be glorified because it's worthy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, as I mentioned, we're in page 13 of Christ revealing his own word. And, you know, prefacing, Brother Branham brought out some thoughts on predestination, which we sort of belabored, and we wanted to get the point across to you, which you'll see shortly why we were doing that. And also we spoke on love, which is true love, from the word of Almighty God, which is entirely self-sacrificial. And then the last thing he brought out was you had to have an absolute, which, of course, in this hour, we have an absolute through vindicated ministry. Now, on page 13, he says, the Bible is not a book of systems. No, sir, it is not a book of systems nor a code of morals. And of course, that's true. The Bible does not work out a system for us. That would be a works program. It works out the beneficial merits of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to us by grace, wherein we may have eternal life. That's a free gift of God. And, of course, it's not a code of morals, because you have always had codes of morals. You have them in your state law, your local laws. There's not a place that doesn't have some type of moral code. Some, of course, are highly immoral codes, but they're moral in the sense they deal with morals, whether the person is amoral or immoral. That Bible doesn't do that. The Bible deals with a life in which there is a morality set forth based upon that life, and that life in love. And he said, no, sir, it's not a book of morals. It is not. Nor is it a book of history altogether. There's some history in it. But that history, of course, is based upon what God revealed to the people of himself and what he desired of them, their attitude toward what he wanted of them, and what they did with what he wanted, both with himself and his word, and then what God did. Therein you'll see some history. Other than that, it's not so. It's not to be a book reckoned of morals and science and things like that. Neither is it a book of theology. Well, of course, if you wanted to debate that, you could, because it definitely is in many senses a book of theology. But what Brother Branham is trying to get across here is a doctrinal dissertation on Godhead, that you could get into the study of it from the Bible here, and that would be what you're looking for. You just want to know certain facts, but that's not true. It goes far beyond that, way beyond it. He said, for it is not a book of history, a book of theology, for it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the meat of it. That's what he tells you, and that's what you have to remember all the way through this message. We are dealing with the book that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In a previous place, he said, if you have read a portion of Scripture which to you does not show forth Jesus Christ, read it again. You miss something, because he's in the history, he's in the Psalms, he's in the songs, he's in the law, he's in all of it, the epistles and so on. Now, if you'd like to read that, you have your papers marking it down. That's Revelation 12:1-3. The Bible is the revelation of Revelation 1:1-3, revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we got time to read it, we'll read it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel or the messenger to his servant John. And John bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the word of this prophecy and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, Brother Branham says here, the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, and it was written by prophets. All right. If the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, now you must understand, we're dealing with this entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If it is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, then all that can be known of him is right in here. Now, there goes the, those highliners, they're very spiritual, and they don't need the Bible because they've gone beyond it. And they have a deeper revelation. Ridiculous. Now, if you believe a prophet, you believe what he said, and you got it because it's the Word. You got to admit he's quoting the Word. It is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. All that can be known, all that needs to be known, all that must be known is right here in this Word. That means no one can take from it or add to it. So if you violate this revelation, you have violated the Word. If you violate the Word, you have violated this revelation. You follow me? That's true. You can't add to it. You cannot take from it. Therefore, there are no lost books. There are no apocryphal books, as the Roman Catholics like to add extraneous books, like Esdras and Maccabees and Second Book of Esther and who knows what, you know. Or the lost writings, the writings of Peter, or the first book of Adam, and there's another book that is really quite good, and that's one of the ancient writers in the Old Testament. And then there's the book on Christ in Egypt. There's the book on the lost 18 years. And you know what they all are? Figments of the imagination to back their own doctrine, or they come from some type of supernatural spiritism. And it's not very supernatural because it's just somebody heard something. So therefore, we know the Book of Mormons is completely fallacious. And you'd be surprised how many people's preaching is fallacious. In fact, 90%, if not a whole lot more. So it's the complete revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was written by prophets. So the Bible prophets alone gave that revelation, and the Bible is a complete book. And it's a completed book. It's all finished. It's sealed up. There's nothing can be added or taken from it. And it was given by the prophets. And it says, Brother Branham quoting in Hebrews 1:1, God who in sundry times spake to the fathers in the prophets in this last day, speaks to us through his Son Jesus Christ, which was the prophets, all of them, put together. So, the revelation, according to what Brother Branham said, which the Bible says, which this Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, was not given at any one time to any one person. It was given in many different times, spread over 1,600 years, as we'll find out, and given to over 40 different individuals, at different times and different parts. So Jesus had to come to be exactly what the prophet said. Now that means under the most serious conditions. If you're going to get 40 different people, 1,600 years over a series, and they're all going to dovetail. And you'll see, as Brother Branham brings up, they didn't have manuscripts and books to follow. How it could dovetail and be a perfect revelation and bring him forth as that one unit of being that fit every single thing. And especially go back, if you want, to the of the Old Testament. You get back to those, the original books in there. Never mind the New Testament. Just take those. He would have to come forth then in this birth into this life, actually, as all of those prophets said it over all of those number of years. That'd be a long time. So there must have been something given to the prophets to vindicate them, or it could not have been put within this volume. And you will find that most of the students who defend the Word of God, in the sense they enter into apologetics and the studies of the Word, they show very, very conclusively how that when these writings or the prophecies concerning Jesus came to pass, the odds would be so astronomical, like we saw in the genes and chromosomes, to produce two identical children. It would be the same, or even would be pretty well the same if you made up the sheet the same way. It would be impossible for the events that transpired even in 48 hours at the last 2 days of Christ's life and to ever come to pass normally. It had to be something very supernatural before it became part of the record. So that what the prophet said was vindicated as to its perfection, and its perfection was manifested by its coming to pass. Now, and he says here that Jesus was all of them put together. Well, Jesus was Malachi. He begins to explain that part put together. Jesus was Jeremiah. Jesus was Elijah. Now, what he's speaking of here is the role, the role that each one played. Because it was that portion of the Scripture, that portion of the Holy Spirit, or the measure of the Holy Spirit, you might say, given at that hour to that man, for the people, and looking down the road, because it's all one harmonious blend. Looking back, looking forward, constitutes one whole bride, Old and New Testament. See, there's one God. We'll see all of those things. And each of these people had something to portray, which would be to portray and manifest Christ who was to come. And then you'll notice, he mentions Elijah, he mentions Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them. But he mentions Elijah. Now, Elijah did not write a book, but Elijah is in the book. And you will notice that he is one who had the vindication of God, that whatever he said concerning God, which was already in the book, God backed up and placed him with the word prophets. Now, what he's saying there, that Elijah didn't have really anything to do with it. Elijah was just the man. What it was, God was in Elijah, and that is true. Because he said, according to my word, there's not going to be any rain until I call for it. And he shut the heavens up for over 3 years. Everything turned as brass. Everything began to wither and turn to dust. And the word of a man cannot do that. And notice Brother Branham says, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man, God, but it comes through a prophet. So we see here that the revelation that is in this word came by prophets, and any revelation that is going to be literally one with that word. Now, there can be a little bias here and a little bias there. But we're talking now in terms of the perfections of where you can't add or take. And where in the book of Revelation, you come to a place where you cannot add or take, the same as you found in the Old Testament under Moses. There is a completion there. And you'll notice absolutely that the revelation that God gave to Moses of himself could never be changed. No way. It could be added to in the sense of a deeper explanation and understanding. But you couldn't possibly add to it as to the basic reality. So, all right. Now it says here, all that they were in him. That is true. Because if each one brought a part of the definitive revelation, and each one was vindicated, something was given in order to know that this person had a reality, the ability to speak for God and to actually portray God and to certainly reveal him, then it would have to be a portion of that one who is the revealer himself, showing that all of them were in him. A portion of him was in each of them, and altogether they were in him. Now, altogether, it did not make him. Didn't make you, never make God. But what it did, altogether, it manifested, demonstrated, proving the truth of that of that revelation. Altogether, it could be a revelation. Altogether, it couldn't be God. It could only come from God. See, just like we come from God. Now, we never came from God as Jesus came from God. No way, shape, and form. I come from God and go back to God. Yet we follow the same line. But what was he? He was the fullness of the attributes. We were just little teensy, weensy measures. Brother Branham said, the great measure was God. Little teeny measures, you and I. So it never ever made them God. But it could constitute the definitive revelation. Now, see, that puts aside all of this junk coming out of Pentecost today, where I've got a revelation, you got a revelation, all God's children got a revelation, let's pool it. Oh, come on. If you want to pool it and eat it, be my guest. I am not interested in hog fodder. I want sheep fodder. Because my father was not a hog. My father was the great shepherd of the sheep, and he is the great lamb, so to speak. And he's mentioned in the heavens as the lion, as the ram, and the great features of the strong, dominant one is right in there, in the great zodiac. And I don't find any hogs up there. Now you look in your zodiac and see what you find. Your genealogy is certainly fine by me. If you come up with something a little extraneous, I don't want to. My family tree is very perfect. I'm speaking of him. I'm not speaking of the other tree. We came from the tree of life. I'm sure you did, sitting here this morning. So, all right. You'll notice in here now, it says here, on top of that, he brings you and me in now. All that were in him. All that you are and all that I am is in him. So therefore, the bride is all of God from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, let's just find out. We go to Hebrews, the second chapter, and we've read this many times, so there's no big surprise here. But it says over here in verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth, that's Hebrews 2, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Now, which is the great sanctifier? Now, watch. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified through Christ, in him, and those who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So there's one universal source for both of us, and that's God. He said, I came from God, I go back to God. All right, we come from God, and we go back to God. Remember, we don't go back the way we came. Any more than you go back the way you came, because you were a little infinitesimal egg and sperm. You go back a full-blown individual with character, whatever, good or bad. All your deeds you give account for, all those other things. And you go back. Well, Jesus came from God. He went back to God. You and I come from God. We go back to God. All right, now, and remember, we all have one source. We're talking now of humanity, of that body. Okay? And what gave the body, which was the seed. All right. Now, it said here, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now, what church is that? The true church, which is the bride. And there you have a picture, literally, of New Jerusalem. For all the elect of all ages are going to be there, the true bride, and outside around about will be those that are left over. That is cut from the same cloth, but they are what you might call a remnant. And also, it's the same thing over here in Ephesians, the first chapter. I'll get it here in a second. Blessed be, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. In other words, there you were, is that little teeny infinitesimal part, and God, and because you were a special portion of an attribute or attributes in combination, he said, now that's what I'm going to bring forth. Now, when you're married, male and female, you don't have the least idea what you're going to bring forth, except it's going to be a part of both of you. And because the woman is of the man to begin with, it's really of the man that she becomes incubated. I'm not trying to downgrade a woman. I'm trying to bring this thing and reconcile it with the Word of God so you begin to understand some of those statements of Brother Branham's that seem so obtuse. And they're not obtuse at all. They've gone back to the infinity of God where it all started. Not what somebody's monkeying with and comes up with some idea. See? But they'll try it every time. Well, we're not in that business. Okay. So then, we see here what we're talking about. We are all of him because we were in that one. That was, in other words, where God pooled it. You see? Where God pooled that life to come on down. You yourself have a pooling of life. If there's not the sperm there, I don't care. You cut your wrist and say, well, I'll draw the blood out because after all, the blood makes all these things. And oh, come on. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Just begin to... Well, we'll see more as we get back to the board and what we did for predestination. We'll see more as we come into this understanding here. Now, it says we were in him. And, of course, now he's in us, too. Words, witnesses of the Word. And that's right. We are little words when he was the great Word. Because we come from that pool that was set aside. See? And God wanted all of us to be part of that great pool. And that great pool was in himself. See, it's just like it comes down naturally. All right. So it's not a book of systems, a code, and of morals and ethics. Neither is it a history book or a book of theology. It is not. But it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, he's speaking of this book here per se. This is the mechanical. So this book is the mechanical. Then it says, God himself revealed from word to flesh. That's the dynamics. See? Here's a record right here. Now, we're too far down the line to go back to Genesis. And there's nobody in Genesis this far to come with us. So the best we got, and it is plenty good enough because it is exactly what God wanted, we got this. Now, we look at this. We say, now this, in word form, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Very good. That's mechanical. All right. What is it? God himself revealed from word to flesh. No, it's the record of that. God himself revealed from word to flesh. We don't have a clue, brother, sister. And there was nobody there that saw that beginning. Moses wasn't there. See, Joshua wasn't there. Enoch wasn't there. Noah wasn't there. Adam wasn't there. Nobody was there. Not a speck of stardust. When he began moving in that area. So, they had to take and get something somewhere to even put it here. So, therefore, we know this is the book of God. That is a holy, reverent book. And you can use it as a fetish if you want. Sure. You can use it as phylacteries, like the Jews would take in part of the word that they loved and bind it in little frontlets before their eyes and go dangle, 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 and always conscious of the word. They should have been conscious by the Holy Ghost to live the word. Put it any way you want. You got perfect mechanics. See? But when it comes, God himself revealed from word to flesh, nobody was party to that. But it's manifested, that's exactly what it was, by the evidence that God gave his holy prophets to give off through the ages to know it is real. Now you've got dynamics. See? The dynamics was the living God himself writing his own history and putting that history as revelation right here. Anybody can read it, and anybody can go haywire reading it, but some will read it, and they get perfectly lined up with God. So, that's good. We got a lovely book then. So, what is the Bible? The Bible, very definitely, is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you have a definition here. Like we have many definitions Brother Branham has. Like one definition we showed you was, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Pillar of fire. Original one God. Not talking to the body now. The one Paul met on the road to Damascus. Once we knew Jesus Christ after flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. The Bible tells you flat you don't know him anymore. That's the body sitting there. Forget it. That veil is put to one side. Temporarily, he's back here. And you get your eyes on this. And you cannot get people to get their eyes on that. My goodness me, they don't even understand what happened in the first church age. How are they going to know what happened in the last church age? Well, I'm sorry for them. Now, that's the definition. What the Bible is. The definition of the Bible. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what does it amount to? God himself revealed from word to flesh. That's what it is. Jesus being the flesh. That's what it is. I left a point here. God is the word. That's the Logos. And Jesus being the flesh, that would be the mechanical. See, now we're going from the mechanics of this to the actual fact of that virgin-born one. Then he would be the mechanics for the dynamics. My Father in me does the works. See? Now watch. It is a revelation. Or if you could, it's a revelation. How God the Word was manifested in human flesh, which was Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, and revealed to us. In other words, starting way back there, coming down, 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 to where he comes to human flesh. And that's why he becomes a son of God. Talking about Jesus here now. God in the office of sonship, and to become in the office of sonship, he must have a body. And that body is Jesus. And there again you have to watch. You say, I came in the name of my Father. What is the name of the Father? Jesus. What is the name of the Son? Jesus. Which Jesus are we talking about at certain times? As this fellow Olson runs around, he thinks we're all messed up because he said, we don't understand the difference between word and word as logos, but we certainly do. He's the one that doesn't understand. He can't figure out how I could preach 24 sermons. Hey, guys, preach 48 in one subject. You ought to stick around and find out. Amen. Not being boasted, just telling the truth. Amen. I don't ask to grind here anybody else. Get with the Word. Study with the Word. Don't go to your own Greek books and your own ideas. Go to what the prophet said.
Ditch your own ideas. Get away from Pentecost. There's death in the plot. Listen, Pentecost is not shuck any longer. It's become terror. Which way are you going to go? Any way you want to go. Chaff gets burned and terror gets burned. Separating time. Separating time shows you what it always was. You say, I believe chaff has got something to God. You believe wrong. You believe wrong. One time the life was in it. There's no life anymore. Sir, now you're going to where tares are. Shows you what the chaff today is. It shows us lineage, which is tares, which the enemy planted. You follow what I'm saying? Go over the tape. Not just my tape, go over Brother Brand's tapes. I see. Now, that's why he becomes the Son of God. Now, it's a revelation of God the Word, of how God the Word is manifested in human flesh and revealed to us. Now, the revelation came through that body. And that body was literally that Logos made into human form. Tells us that. And we apprehend it. We say, I understand that. I believe that. And that's why he becomes a Son of God. He is part of God. You understand. Now, how could you be a son of your father and not be a part of your father? You tell me. Now, you're that way because of an act. And in that act, there's a part of a human being. In an emission, there's literally cells, which cause a cell particular, those, there's billions of them. Could be trillions in one emission, for all I know. That is the same part of your body as many people don't like to consider the fingernails that you clip off as a part of your body. If it isn't, you tell me what it is. Now, it says here, that's why he becomes the Son of God. He is a part of God. You understand? Now, he goes on to say, the body is part of God so much that it's a son. See, your body is so much a part of your father that you're a son or a daughter. Now, we were looking at the board up here. And I don't know what all we can do with it. You know how it is. We got that erased. We don't do much with that, do we? Okay, we start up here again now. And we got the fact that, we got genes. And we got chromosomes. We got genes over here. We got chromosomes right there. And by the time that we bring the genes and the chromosomes into relationship, you know, we got one with this, with the 9,000, that was 31 zeros behind it. I put that to the power, that'd still be one, but it's you'd have to raise a 10 or raise it up to get 9,000, many 9,000 be, I don't know, trillions and trillions in there. Now, the reason I showed you this was for this simple reason of getting, to have you realize that when you deal with God in any revelation, you have got to have something which is in the human mind, or within the scope of the human mind, to apprehend what God's trying to give you, or you just don't get it. And remember, the mind is a part of the Spirit. So therefore, as the anointed ones can be anointed only on the Spirit, and it never gets down in here with a true revelation in reality, but we have the Holy Ghost here deep in our soul. We have that seed in there. So it's the same Spirit that comes by way of our spirit and the mind to get here to bring forth what is down here, which in the unbeliever, make believer, it only goes this far and on his spirit. You see? Now, so God has to have a way to get to you what's in this book. Even though it is a spiritual revelation, you've got to have something to receive it with, or you just don't get it. So what I'm looking at is trying to show you from God how that we can work back to God. If God allowed one man, and one woman, and she came from the man originally, because the woman is by the man, and then also the man is of the woman, speaking of procreation. See? So we're centering it all in man, where it all is, and holy wedlock brings that together. But God is like the one he says in Scripture, the casting of the lot is in the hand of man, but the disposal, where it's going to fall, is in the hand of God. So A male and female can get together in a blessed sexual union, which is a righteous act. And that act, look, could it bring? What lies there? What the possibility is? But it takes God, instead of those 9,000 zero figures of multiplication, he just picks one up. And he brings together whether that's going to be a redhead or you take a union of a redhead and a real black-headed person. Why, may all be redheads. Everyone could all just be as red as fire. Now there could be sandy reds. You think it's got to go just a certain way. Well, it does got to go just a certain way. You can pretty well figure, but you can't really figure. See, man can be pretty smart. So we can see how that the human being can do this. Now, so if the human being is able to have within his complex this very thing here in order to produce, then looking back, we can see that since any one of these came from an original, that thing worked out on the basis of that great, it's incalculable. All you know is the act, and all you know certain physical things about, and certain scientific things and medical things as well. That's all you know about it. You can't do any more than God, but you just have to know about that, that thing there. That then down here produced the body from what was up here. And this, no matter how you look at it. Now, serpent seed got in there, right? And here's the human race, right here. The human race here. And here's what you might call the serpent race. Now, all this is mixed up in here. Forming a body. Now, I'm trying to get my words right here so you can understand here. This one here is a part of this. Now, if it wasn't a part of this, it couldn't produce this. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It had to be up here to produce it. Now then, you go back further where man was a spirit being. Right. Now, that's how God had him, a spirit being. Now God puts him in a body. Now we go through we get the results we got up here. This being the case, this then was life. And it took on a body. And when it took on a body, it was a part of life, a part of Adam. See, was that this body is a part of life, and of course, that life was in Adam. All right, now God is life. Sure, he is life. Absolutely. Now, in there, he's all wise, he's omniscient, he's everything. God just positive everything. Now then, if it's from God, then it's going to have a body, because that's what God typed in man. And that's what I'm trying to show you. Man becomes a type of God. See, I showed you the other day. All right, we're called spora. So, okay, here's a rose. And I can't draw a rose. I can't even draw a... How would I draw a single... You artists get up here and get a little rose from me. I'm horribler than I ever was because my hands don't work with the plug nickel anymore. That looks like a smiling rose. Okay. Now, it better be smiling than not smiling. Now, if that really, you say that is a rose. That is not a rose. We'll come right down to the truth. Okay. Okay, this thing goes to the place now where all right. It's nothing but a little pit. What do they call it here? Rose pit. Rose hit. Now, there it is. Now, in that rose hit, you got all the little seeds in here. But that doesn't look like anything like the flower. See? Now, that is still not rose. See? But watch. In there is a life. And that is a part of rose. And that is a part of rose. That is a part of rose. And we finally designate it by getting it back here to what we recognize. And say, well, all right now, that's rose. All right, now, the body, then, is a part of rose, right? Body or flower, which is the body, is part of rose. Now, what part of rose is it? The rose in its fullness, what a rose really should be. So, you're seeing then the body is part of Rose, and it's a true revelation of Rose. So, Brother Branham could say, what I'm looking at here, the body is part of God. You follow? The body is part of God. Just the same as down here, that teeny bit of sperm. That's a part of that man. No, that's not the man. My hands, my feet. No. Who is my? Who's me? The fellow that's in there. So therefore, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was absolutely part of God. Now, people can say and do what they want about that, but that's what the prophet said. And I showed you the best I can by human illustration. I know I'm not too good at it, but I'm the best I am, the best I've got, you know. That's what I got to work with. You can see what Brother Branham says. The body is part of God so much that it's a son. You are so much a part of your father that you are a son. And you are so much a part of God that you are a son of God and vindicated and proven to be by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism proof that you got the baptism is you believe this word of this hour. So that's what I was looking at there. If I'd have had my notes all lined up, I could have read my notes, I'd have done better. So, all right then, what is the Son? What is the Son? The Son is a body. And the Son of God is the body of God and is a part of God. Take it easy, I came from God and I go to God. No problem. And the body eventually went to God. You bet. And it's still there, still a body. Jesus, the Son, was born. Now, watch what he says, a son. As the Catholic put it, eternal son, and all the rest of the church, eternal son. The word doesn't even make sense. It cannot be eternal and then be a son, because a son is something that's begotten from. Now, look at Christ is revealing his own word, and the revelation has started whether you know it or not. And he's telling you flat, because later on there's going to be warnings, and I'm not even going anywhere near it, so I don't give her, you know, I haven't got time to worry about time. We take 20 lessons of this, we take 20 lessons, we can do it in five, we'll do it in five. We're not going to do it in five, there's three already. So, you might as well be content to sit a few more minutes. There cannot be eternal and then be a son. No way, shame, burn. Because a son's something that's begotten. And he's the only begotten son of God. And remember, he's begotten more than once. He was begotten from through the womb of Mary, coming into life, and then he was begotten from the dead as a special first fruit. See? And that resurrection proved his death and his birth, because his birth was for a death, for him to become the blood of God. And the life is in the blood. He had to be the blood of God, because definitely God's life was in him. And the word eternal, he can be a son, but he cannot be eternal son. No, sir. It cannot be an eternal son. Now, he's not talking about God in the office of sonship. He's talking about this one that was born that's a part of God. See? Now, not speaking of God himself in that eternal sense. But now he is the Son so much that all the word that was in Jeremiah, in Moses, in all those words, like they said, they speak of me. All that true divine revelation of word was wound up into one human body and God put flesh around it. Now, that's a little ambiguous in my thinking. Because why would he have to say put flesh around a human body when you know already human body is flesh? And I'm going to say it my way and not going to change anything he said to my knowledge. All that true divine revelation of the word was wound up into one whole revelation or body of the truth. And God put flesh around it. Because that's what he's really saying. All of it. All that revelation that came by all of those prophets, prophesying of that coming, God took that word, all of it, not part of it, all of it. He was Messiah. He was Redeemer. He was this. He was that. The Rose of Sharon, the keeper of the keeper of peace. All the things there. Our Lord, our righteous. The Lord, our shepherd. Every single one of those things. He was that one. Exactly what they said. Absolutely. So the whole body of truth was put into a human body. God put flesh around it. Sure. That's the reason he was called Son. The reason he refers Father. And that's the reason he could say Father. Even though that the Father was in him. See? Now remember, there's a difference between him and us. Now, God was in that body, creating the office of sonship in order to redeem. God created the sperm and the egg. Brought forth by the chemistry of Mary. She was the incubator. You got to just use that terminology as the best terminology there is, which is true. And he came forth from the virgin womb. That's the reason he was called Son. And the same reason that he could be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Because he was part, the life, literally, took on that form, so it could have the form of the body. And God indwelt it. Why? It's just simple. If you just let God pour it into your mind. See, God revealed in a body of flesh. Notice, revealed from word unto flesh. That's St. John 1:14. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See? Now, notice, this Bible, some of them said, oh, well, it's done this and it's done that. And, you know, what he's going to tell you is that people are denying the accuracy of the Word of God, and they deny it could be the Word of God, the divine authorship, and all those things. You know, that's what he's saying here. But let me tell you something. Let's just go into history of the Bible for a minute and see where the Bible came from. It was written by 40 different writers. 40 men wrote the Bible over a space of 1,600 years and at different times, predicting the most important events that ever happened in the world's history, and many times hundreds of years before it happened. And there's not one error in the entire 66 books. Oh my, no author but God himself could be so accurate. Not one word contradicts the other. Remember, 1,600 years apart, the Bible is written, from Moses to the death of John, the Isle of Patmos, 1,600 years, written by 40 different authors. One didn't even know the other, and they never had it as one word. In other words, they didn't even have manuscripts to go by. And some just couldn't write if they were told to write anyway. They had to have somebody else write for them. But all man, did they have a memory. Because once that word came, it never left the memory. Just quoted backward and forward. You talk about anointing of God. Brother Branham had the same thing. He said, I was the only one living who could tell it just exactly as he said or just exactly as I saw it. And he proved it by telling people their dreams and proving that they didn't tell the dream right. They missed a part of it. See, prophets are very strange people. Very, very strange. Don't try to fool with them. Just leave them alone. Some of them never even saw the word. And when they wrote it, was understood to be prophets. Then when they put their prophecies together, each of them dovetailed one to the other. That's where you could find out Isaiah 9 and 6. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given. And the government be upon his shoulders, with his names, all those things right down the line. Look at Peter. Now watch this illustration. Who announced on the day of Pentecost, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Paul had never heard anything about it. He went down to Arabia for 3 years to study the Old Testament, to see who this pillar of fire was that spoke to him on the road to Damascus, saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? How could he be wrong? He never even consulted the church at all. And 14 years later, when he met Peter, they were preaching the same thing word by word. That's exactly true. Tell me how it was done. It had to be some kind of a spirit. You can say, well, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Well, that's your business entirely. That's up to you to say what you believe. Our Bible. Let other man's fail. This, no man add to it. This one can't fail. See, you don't add any more to the Bible. No, sir. This is a complete revelation. That's all. It surely is. You see, if it's not complete, then it is not true, according to William Branham, because we're supposed to have the truth. That's what tells us in Hebrews. This is what you're looking for. Now look back on it. See? People don't even do that. See? We'll see some things here. Alright, we'll just keep moving. Like the seven seals. The seven seals. Someone kept saying to me, the Lord will speak to you, Brother Branham, when these seals are revealed and will tell us how to get closer to God. I said, no, sir. It can't be. Because the Bible, the seven seals on it, had the seven mysteries hidden. It was already written. But they didn't understand what it was. Watch how they plowed along with that being baptized in Jesus' name. See, that wasn't it. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was it, see. That's what you use, not Jesus' name. See? Because there are many Jesuses. I got several friends here on earth named Jesus, minister friends. It isn't that. It's our Lord Jesus who is the Christ. That's the actual truth. You're identifying. And he came in his Father's name. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus. Well, man, you're a pillar of fire. You must be the one that led Moses. I'm that one. Well, what do you mean I'm persecuting? Well, I was in that one that died. That's my son. That's Messiah. That's the one that was always told about, all you people all about. See? Sure, you gotta know these things, brother, sister. See, remember the body's the part. If it isn't, I want to ask you a question. What life did it have? You know anybody denies that? They arrogate to themselves a greater position than Jesus the Christ. Because they'll say, I'm of God. To what degree? How much? See, understand. Nobody says we're not a God. We've got no position. Oh, there's something on position in here too. We'll get to it later on. Oh, goody, goody. These are just full of these blessed gumdrops, spiritual gumdrops that I'm not forbidding this kind of sugar. It's the other kind. Yeah. No author but God could be so correct. And you see, under the seals was the proof of all of it for this hour. Now, let's just see how this Bible was written. Now, say, for instance, what if we went now and took 66 medical books that deal with the body, written by 40 different medical schools, or in 1,600 years apart? I wonder what kind of continuity we'd come up with. That's a very good question. Just in the last 10 years. When George Washington, our president, about 200 years ago for pneumonia, they pulled his toenail out and bled him a pint. Let's go a little further on some of the things we're so attracted to today. That's science. What if we took 40 different scientists, 1,600 years apart, and see what we'd come up with? A French scientist 300 years ago proved by science, by rolling a ball, that if any terrific speed was obtained over 30 miles an hour, imagine that, you can almost run that fast now, the object would leave the earth and fall off. Do you think science would ever refer back to that? Is there any continuity with that now, when they drive down the streets or the road 150 miles an hour? That's tame to what some of them can do. See, but he scientifically proved that by the pressure of the ball rolling across the ground, that at 30 miles an hour, that any object would lift off the earth and go away, fall off into space. Now, at that time, the computation was very good by what they knew, but they didn't know much. They only knew that an apple would fall down, hit you on the head if you're on an apple tree, but didn't know what did it. Too much. That is, they knew a little bit, but not too much. And they did their best. No, there's no continuity to that. But not one word in the Bible contradicts the other. 1,600 years and 40 authors. Not one prophet ever contradicted the other. They were every one perfect, and when one came in and did prophesy, that is prophesy wrong, that real prophet raised up and called him down. Sure, Deuteronomy 18, that's a test. You don't have to get bamboozled by somebody. When God sends his prophet, believe me, there is no leeway. Otherwise, there could be no judgment. There could be no word. How could God have a man that could come in on the scene and bamboozle the people? Well, there certainly can be bamboozlers, but there's got to be an original to be a counterfeit. See? Why, before the serpent came on the scene to get in the act, Adam was in the garden. The serpent wandered in. I never found where God made the Garden of Eden for the animals and this and that. I understand he made the trees, and maybe there could have been some birds in there. I suppose there could have been. But I don't know, even know about that. All I know is a place of beauty and a place of rest and peace and good food and eating and things like that. A place to sleep and all, live. And this higher order walked in and decided he'd take over. Always was the original brother or sister before there was one of these, you know, critters that came along later. He said here, the real prophet raised up and called him down. Then it was made manifest. See? So the Bible is the word of God to all true believers. In other words, you've seen what God produced that convicted you and convinced you. And you having a modicum of that life in you and receiving the Holy Ghost would just take amen to everything that came in that hour. Now, you couldn't get any accuracy in what doctors would agree upon. You can't even get accuracy from them now. You can't get accuracy in science now. Well, you know, people think the doctor is so great. You better read up on this doctor. Was he named Marsh in the Reader's Digest? And he wrote about all these doctors' mistakes, and it's called iatrogenesis, which means doctors, you know, diagnose wrong and they give you the wrong treatment, or they cause problems. Like he tells how that they're supposed to give a 0.01 cc's, I guess, of something for gout, and she read the doctor's orders as 0.10, and it killed him. And nobody ever dies with a pain in the toe. Well, not really. Complications may be induced later on. And he tells of just so many cases where absolutely the doctors were to blame. Well, I realize there's a lot of good in medicine, and we don't pan the whole thing. But we just realize there is nothing to compare to this book, and yet people are always doing it. They're trying, listen, there is no second opinion when it comes to this word. There's a second opinion every place else under everything under the sun. And a third opinion and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth or a thousand. But here, no sir. Amen. Amen. This is it. Now, I know we're called a bunch of idiots and they'll do double talk and try to flim-flam us into believing there's mistakes about the fellow said, oh, the Bible can't be true. And when the word of God said that God brought the quails in so many deep, he said it wasn't possible. Well, then it wasn't possible for the fleas to come in either, and the flies and things. There's nothing possible to these guys. They got some crazy idea. Anyway, it's perfectly fine by me. They go their way and I go mine. We go ours, don't we? Okay, now you know some time ago they told us when the Bible said he saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. That couldn't be. The earth was round. The Bible said four corners. Well, now you saw 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago it's been now. The paper's packing this article. They found out the world is square. And how many saw that? Sure, see, I got it all copied off and just waiting for somebody to say something. Well, the actual fact of the matter is the earth is round. The landmass is square in there. In other words, they have four corners to it. And you can see if they took pictures. And we know the Bible said, he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. But Brother Brown is certainly correct here. It's a square within a sphere. And I'll tell you something. Has anybody ever taken and rotated a square real, real fast, and it didn't come out round? If it didn't come out round, I'll eat it. I'm not afraid. Limburger cheese, tacks, goat's milk, yep. You make a square and I'll spin it. If it doesn't turn round in your vision, I'll eat it. So you could tell my, and you could even take, what if you took a picture? It'd be round, wouldn't it? The camera would catch it on a round. So what about the earth? Is it because it's whirling? Well, you say it can't be whirling that fast. Who said? I don't know. I don't care how you look at these things. Did the sun stand still? I believe the sun did stand still. I don't believe it's a little expression. I believe we're going to find a lot of peculiar things in life. And there's, you just wait your while, you'll find an answer. And now they're going to listen to this one. And this has already been looked at by science. And they're going to find out someday that they're not seeing 150 million years of light space either. They're going right around in a circle. Now, they found certain things are bending. They didn't know used to bend when it comes to light and properties. I don't understand these things. All I know is that this is something I read of myself where they said they're believing it's now in a great circle. It's not what they think. But they said it is still a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous circle. So, let's keep reading. That's exactly. You're going to find out one of these days that when you do go to heaven, you don't fly off somewhere else. You're still right here, too, just in another dimension, faster than this. Okay? Right through this room's coming color. Every color shirt, dress, whatever you got on is eternal. Lying right here on records. Going round and round the world. Every time you bat your eyes, it's right on record. Watch. Television will prove that. Of course, you have to have something sending it. Now, you can talk about this at this point here. It's a dimension. And it is right here. Now, perhaps dimensions never cease to exist. They always remain the dimension. But one day, this world and the atmosphere and the spheres, as far as I know, according to the Word of God, are going to be dissolved and redone. But the dimensions could remain. Then it won't be, like you say, you know, right at this spot. It's going to be done over after the millennium. So, Brother Branham told us that in the future home. But dimensions remain. When you're born, God puts a record on. Doesn't make much noise for a little while. You know, that's a little baby till it comes to accountability. Then the noise starts. He starts saying things and doing things he has to answer for. And then when that life ends, the record or tape is taken off and laid in the great library of God. Now, how are you going to get around it at the judgment bar? It's played right back in front of you. Every move you've made, every thought that went through your mind, can you see that? Now can you see where God? And then he stops off his ends. Now, what he says here is one reason I stand with the word in the Greek, millennia, not millennium. Now, Brother Branham said time does not run out, really, until after the millennium. Now, that we don't believe for 1 minute that we're going to be here for thousands of years in the millennium. so-called. But the great white throne takes place after the millennium. And if everyone has his day in court, and he will have according to Matthew 7, Lord, we cast out devils, prophesied, did this and did that. Look at our record. Then the record must appear. And when you've got billions of people in that record, could it not take thousands of years? It sure could, but it wouldn't mean a thing. What's thousands when you're eternal, mortal? But I want you to notice here, the Bible substantiates if it is required to be known of us, or to us, that it could be a long time. Not just, hey, out, hey, out. They're going to say, the record's going to be, why didn't you visit me in the hospital? I didn't even know you were in the hospital. What are you talking about? Why didn't you feed me when I was hungry? You weren't even near me. Look, I was born in the 19th century. You're in the first century, right? How would I know? You say, well, brother, I don't think it's going to be that way. Brother Branham said, you don't change one little bit when you leave here. It's just the place you go to, your environment's different. And I can't believe that this Bible doesn't speak of argumentative creatures here and not argumentative creatures there, because it says they're going to argue a point. So who knows? I'm of the opinion, as I say, just an opinion, think it over, do what you want with it. It doesn't going to affect anything, because we got that's a revelation for down the road. But looking at it, man, it could be a long, long time. Now he gives an illustration of the judgment to come, like records, and how he, standing there, in his dimension, with that mind of his, blipping in and out, he can pick up exactly the way God picks up. Now it's record. What are you going to do when it's a record? Now watch. Standing here the other night, there had been a man on the platform, tall, bald-headed man, real handsome-looking fellow, strong. He went out, and the Lord told him a whole lot of things about his family and what he should do. And he went out and sat down. A few minutes, here comes another, before me, another man like that, but he had his head down. I couldn't make out. And I looked at the man again, out there, and it wasn't he, because it was somebody else. And this man, I couldn't find him. I looked around, nobody behind me. I said, the man is sitting inside those curtains. And that's in the baptistry. And it was our brother. That's Brother Shepherd. I know him well. There comes a church here. Tall, bald-headed, handsome sort of a fella. He can't be called handsome, but he certainly can be called a handsome sort, because that's exactly what he looks like. He is a fine-looking man, and a nice look about him that you could not say this man is handsome, but he's a sort of handsome. The word is almost scriptural, you know what I mean, in its accuracy. Yeah, tall, bald-headed, handsome sort of fella sitting up there like that. And he had his head hung over praying, because he was just about to die with stomach trouble. He was going to get a pair of shoes. His wife wanted him to get a new pair of shoes, and he said, I don't think I have to get them, because I'm not going to live long to wear them. He was dying. And sitting there, you see, in that dimension. What dimension? The dimension that God's in. All this is a record. That's recorded in heaven. Now, what if Brother Shepherd turned out to be something other than we think he is? And I believe he's a real born-again sheep and a bride. I got good reasons to believe that. Very good reasons. Very, very astute person. And let's say that he wasn't, just for sake of an argument, something to talk about in this respect. And he goes up there on Judgment Day, and the Lord said, Now, I was there ministering to you. You ministering to me? What do you mean? Oh, yeah. That dimension. Here's the record right here. You mean that's you? Sure. You think that's not possible? Then you answer me one question. How can the devil smart off against God, knowing who God is? You tell me. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'll tell you. Something is going to happen. Very definitive. Documented. I was there that night, too. And then the next time everybody tries to get in the baptistry, you think Brother Branham was going to... Oh, that old Pentecostal way. Now, let's see. How did we feel last night? Now, we shouted. So, yeah. So we shout, the anointing will come. No, listen. You shouted because the anointing was there. You don't shout to get the anointing. Oh, this Pentecostal rhythm. It's their biorhythm. It isn't God's rhythm. Whatever, because they get feeling good. I don't mind shouting. I think we ought to do more shouting myself. You know, really, we should. You do it and I'll join you. It's possible. It's possible. I wasn't too much for that. I was more for sitting there rapt, R-A-P-T. It's more dumbfounded, looking on the outside, crying on the inside. But that's everybody's different. You have your day. How are you like it, you? I just couldn't figure out how Pentecostal is. Let's shout. Why don't they say, let's cry. Pass the onions. Tell a sad story? Oh, come on. Yes. Brother, sister, we're not dealing with those things anymore. It's not sensation, it's reality. I know around the world you people are the dumbest and the deadest of the bunch. I love you that way. I don't want you hooting and hollering. I want you listening so something begins to move. And when the word begins to move, you're moving with it into obedience and all these things. Anybody can shout and go through the motion. I'm not against that either. That's great. That's a sign of life, brother, sister. But the sign of the real life is believing this word. There's where it is. Then if there's a shout comes, glory to God. If there's an act comes, glory to God. But what's the other? I mean, it's fine. But just look at that's not what we're interested in. Not interested. Okay. No, he said, he was dying, sitting there. He's seeing that dimension. Hallelujah. God just moved over in there and said, there he sits. Just the position he was in. Notice he said, God said it. He didn't say it. See what I mean? Now notice, there is not any error in the scriptures. And he uses this as an illustration showing you that God did not make a mistake in his ministry, which he calls discernment, which we're going to. He did not make a mistake and never did. Never one time. And he didn't make one mistake in the word, because this that Brother Branham had is a proof. His vindication is a proof of this vindication. His perfection in a gift is the proof of this perfection, because the one that wrote this gave him the gift to prove who it was that wrote it and what it meant. And that's not double talk, that's straight talk. Okay, now that's as far as we're going to go, because it's 12:05. The Lord bless you. And I hope you've had a... What's that? Give us 1 hour? A little more. Okay, so we'll start here. Let me get a little note here, if you don't mind. I'll put it here. That's on page 17. We've got 4 pages about done. And some of these pages will go a little more easily. All right. So Wednesday night, hoping we can continue. And if I don't, Brother Clausen will continue. And appreciate your prayers. I know that's pretty well what's sustaining me, because it's rough. Been rough for quite some time. I just don't seem to be able to shake this weather and these things here. But the Lord's able, that's the main thing, and we just keep believing together. I know you've got problems, and we all pray for each other, and may the Lord help us to begin to move into a realm that's more spiritual, more efficacious, more positive in the things of Almighty God for every single one of us, until by the grace of God we become truly one member in Him, because that's the way it is, which is really one member. In honor, preferring each other, seeking each other's benefit and good, and not our own. Those are the things, brothers and sisters, that make this message real. Not the other things. Oh, gifts are fine. Look, we've had enough gifts to fill us to the top and overflow. We don't need one more gift. If there's not one more tongue, not one more interpretation, not one more prophecy, not one more healing, that's fine by me. But I believe there are. But I'll tell you one thing. That's still not the answer. The answer lies in the life that's in this word. We saw it in the prophet. Yeah. I saw how spontaneously he just reached in his pocket and pulled out a $20 bill to help a man or 10, whatever it was. And you know, I was so chagrined, I said, my God, why didn't I think of that? I could have done that. I never thought of it. That man seemed to think of everything. You say, well, he's specially anointed. Well, let's get some of that anointing on us. Because I want to tell you, that anointing wasn't made the prophet. And I said, oh, sir, we can have that anointing right down the same way he did. You don't need to worry about those things, brother, sister. And you can believe that word just as hard as he did. Won't understand it all just as good, but you can believe it just as hard. Another thing, you're going to have to depend on it just as hard as he did if you're going to make the rapture. So you can do a lot of identifying with the prophet and with the word of God today. Grow up in the glory of Almighty God. So, all right, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank and praise you for your love, mercy, and grace, your kindness extended toward us, the joy and the fellowship we have around your word, Lord, especially that which we know of. We just kind of feel like John, who said of the word of life which we have seen, which we handled, and we've had fellowship with, we want to tell you, and he just got so excited, Lord, over that, and that's how our excitement is today, too, of that portion of that word, because we know the prophet is the living word of God made manifest. We know about God formed in human flesh in this hour just before the burning of Sodom, all these things, Lord, and we can, and this is where we live, Lord. This is what we joy and rejoice in, oh God. And we're like John there. Now, Father, take us a step further and make us like John in love and the things of God, Lord, and that sweet peace and love for each other Lord God in heaven, it's going to cost us a whole lot more not to have it than it will cost us to have it. So help us to get right with the price this morning, oh God, all the way down the line. And just take everything out of our souls, Lord, and our minds and our spirits. Anything, Lord, that gets in the way. Anything, Lord, that comforts this old flesh and lifts up this old flesh or does anything with the flesh, Lord, help us to get it all the way now as never before, because we're marching to Zion. We're going in, and we're going in without these dirty old bodies. We're going in changed in a glorified body. And we thank you for it, Lord. Just bear the very atoms. Hallelujah. Not the life. Oh, no, we've already got the life. It's just the atoms going to be changed, Lord. Hallelujah. So help us, Father, to know that, going right into that great dimension, oh God, moment by moment, day by day. Help us, Lord, we pray. We know you are helping us. Rather, we should say, Lord, make us aware of your help as never before, that we might give thee praise. In Jesus' name we pray. The Lord bless you. We're just going to go singing. Take the name of Jesus with you.